I would just like to share a few minutes. Usually every year, many of you I have not met before, but to say that I always share something of experience I've had of the year. And actually, everything's been talked about so far talks about the year that I've had to this point.
By the way, come up here so you can see.
Okay.
We were driving to our son's house in New Jersey from Lynn, Massachusetts, and about halfway there, I got a phone call in the car. I didn't answer it at first because I was driving, but then my wife and I changed places, and she was driving, and I got the call again, and it was a news a report to me that was devastating. And my wife was devastated, and many other people were devastated as well. And I trust that you'll take this news in a proper way. But I was being told that the senior pastor that I had been ministering with had a relapse. He was a drug addict, and he relapsed into drug addiction. He had been in pain for probably about a year. And unbeknownst to anybody, none of us discerned it. He was able to carry on his ministry, and here we are, my wife and I, and people in other places as well, wherever they were in relationship to our church body. And again, the word is devastated. We could not believe what we heard. Wondered what the impact of that was going to be on our lives. We've been through a lot of different things over the years and experienced a lot of things, but this indeed was the most devastating thing that I've ever experienced in my life. But I learned a lesson a long time ago. I even talked about it here, about holding steady. God gave me a message a long time ago. It was 3 points. Actually, it was the day that I was elected pastor in Vernon, Connecticut. It was like a fire that came from heaven right down. I could feel it right here, and it sunk right into my being. And the Spirit of God gave me a message. Hold steady. Don't quit. Trust the Lord. And that's been about 30 years ago now. And actually, that word from the Lord has sustained me through a lot of different situations, as it has in this year. Because back in May, the end of May, we didn't know what we were going to do for life work next. We didn't know where we were going to be living. Everything in life was at a question mark and not knowing. But this we have found, that as we've held steady, God's always brought something out of the experiences that we have been having. And as we trusted the Lord, I didn't know that I would still be in the church a few months later. I'm still there. I'm still ministering, and God has done some really good things through all of that. But if I had acted according to my fears and my concerns about what life was going to be like next, I very likely would not. If I were here, maybe I'd be telling a different story. I have loved Pilgrim Camp and been coming to prayer retreat for I think close to 4 decades now, every prayer retreat. And so I'm thankful for that. But to say in regard to that, God has really been blessing something to me, which was emphasized from this morning, and talk about the grace. And, you know, there's so much being said today about grace. It's all true, but you kind of wonder, where are these different people talking about it from? What point, what reference point are they talking about it in their lives? But anyway, talking about the grace of God, last Sunday, I'm usually a person, I'm the person that collects offerings. And God speaks to me for every single offering opportunity. And it's always a brief message, an emphasis to give on something. Last Sunday morning, it was Luke 6:38, if I remember right, 31 or 38. But it says, "Give, and it shall be given unto you in good measure," the King James says. But the New King James uses the word full. "Given to you in full measure." And really what it's talking about is the goodness of God to be expressed through your giving, what will come back to you. Okay. And it goes on to describe that, which I've looked into that. Actually, I did that last Sunday morning. It says, it will be given to you in good or full measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Shall the Lord, not the Lord, but men shall give into your bosom. They will give into your life. And I think the Apostle Paul must have done some cooking, because you can't read that and you can't understand it to the fullest extent as to one who cooks. And I have been a cook in times past. I went to Zion Bible. It was an institute when I went, but it's become a college. And I was a cook. And one of my greatest pleasures to cook was cakes and things like that. I love making banana cakes, carrot cake. If you're hungry, I'm sorry. Or if you desire a banana cake or a carrot cake or something like that. But this I learned, and I would have never done it except for cooking like for 300 people, which we did. And that is, when you cook for 300 people, you don't do that in your kitchen, your everyday kitchen. Okay? Because if you don't, you'll have a mess and you'll have far more than you and an army could eat. But the idea is that God says to us that the measure that you give out is the measure with which you will receive. Okay? And so when you're making a cake, you use teaspoons and tablespoons and a cup. You know, we used to use measuring cups made of metal, but then we had a great big measuring instrument, and it was called a gallon. For 300 people, I used gallons in terms of different ingredients. And then what you would probably put, just like a pinch of salt, that would, you would have a cup. Oh, you got to put a cup of salt in those things. But the point is that what the scripture is talking about, that, again, you're going to receive in the measure to which you give. And I did make a comment to people in church last Sunday. I said, what's your attitude in giving? How much do you really give? And I did use the one with the middle, the two mites. And I said to the people, do you just give a couple of pennies in church? I've been a pastor long enough to know that people must give pennies. But you know, that's the measure with which you deserve to get back from God and from other people, okay? And when we, a full measure, again, it means a good measure, okay? And then when it goes on, it says, press down. You know, I never even really understood this scripture fully until last Sunday morning. Because when you talk about pressing down, and I thought how many times I have made cakes, and I would take the ingredients and I would push those ingredients down into that big gallon measuring cup, measuring instrument, and press down. And then that led me to, really, even for today, thinking about what we've been hearing and talking about, is that God takes things of life and he presses them in, pushes them in. Okay? And sometimes that hurts. You know, we don't think about flour and other things like that hurting. But when God starts pressing into our lives, it's not to destroy us, but it's to make us strong, to make us usable, to make us fruitful, and being able to have a harvest in the lives of other people. So shall men give into your bosom when God has you prepared. He's making you, and he's going to bake you, because he wants you to be strong, okay? So he presses things in, and I tell you what, in this last year, I have felt the pressure, okay? And especially since that realization, that phone call, how life has been a pressure cooker over these last months. And then it says, shaken together. Have you ever felt shaken by the Lord? Scripture tells us that there's coming a time that this whole world's going to be shaken. But sometimes, like, you know, I'm talking about the sifting process. You shift that thing. And you know, it's a big one when you use for cooking in larger crowds, but shaken. So God presses us and he shakes us and makes sure everything is right. Because it's going to be put through the furnace. It's going to be baked. Okay? And God's doing that in your life and mine, all of us. Some of us don't really understand what it means to really have God do the work of making us. We sing about it, but have we really felt God's hand in it? And I'm sure that probably all of us here today have. But what is God doing? He's not out to destroy you. He's not out to destroy me. I could have never imagined feeling so devastated in life at the result of the failure of another person. I deserve a good pressing and a good shaking, a good spanking occasionally, but I have never felt the kind of thing that I felt in the last several months. But the thing that I have realized, and it's something similar to what is taught here at Pilgrim Camp and probably in your churches as well, is that God is doing a work. He wants to accomplish something in all our lives. If we fight it, it's going to hurt worse. But if we give ourselves in the hands of God, let him do what he wants to accomplish in our life, how much better it's going to be. Sometimes if you're taking it into your own hands, you got to backtrack. You got to go through the same lessons again, sometimes again, sometimes again. But God is out doing something. And I have been so blessed over these last months. Because a few months ago, I didn't know if I was going to make it another month. Not because I didn't want to, but because my life right now is in the hands of others that make decisions. I am still serving in the church where I'm serving. I've been an associate pastor there for about 6 years. But now I am serving at the approval of my district leaders. I'm part of the Assemblies of God, and I have district headship. They can come in any moment and say, Wade, you're done. I am serving until a senior pastor is selected. Okay? As far as I know, that's when my service at this church will be over. But the blessings that I've had and that I've seen in these few months is because I've remained faithful. Hallelujah. I've held steady in spite of how I felt, what the enemy would like to do to me. Okay? But the lessons that we have learned in our lives hold us in good stead with God and with other people. We have had a number of people left our church. We were having about 120 to 150 people. Right now we're running about 50. We've lost over half of our congregation. And to me, I say, what did God say to you about this? Did you take time to listen to God? God sometimes wants you to hold steady. Just stick Amen. With the stuff. Amen. Get through it and see what he's going to do on the other side of it. Well, God's been blessing, and I guess it wouldn't hurt to say that we were in the process of buying a church. We were actually buying a building with which to just turn that thing all around and have a new place to meet. But now we can't afford it. And the amazing thing out of all of that is now, I am set to meet with the intern. I have an interim pastor over me. I'm not the guy in charge, but I am going to go with him this next Wednesday night to see a church building right in our community that has been taken, and I am told that it looks marvelous on the inside. We can't afford the big building that we've already bought it. Now we're going to sell it, and we're going to step into a building, I believe, that's all set and ready for a congregation. We don't have to do any work on it. They've already done the work. That's what I've been told, and now this Wednesday I'm going to get to walk inside of it and see what it looks like. And again, to say that what God is doing, I feel like something just going up and down my from my head, my neck, to my body, and just saying, it's an amazing thing indeed when you watch and see what God will do. Sometimes we will get devastated. Thank God it's not something that happens often in life. But you will, if you're going to be worth anything, in God and in his service. you're going to have a devastation time, sometime or another. Sometime you're going to feel so low, so discouraged, maybe even depressed, because sometimes God's people can get depressed. Have you ever been depressed? You'll get that way. But praise God that when He's finished with us, we'll experience the fact that when you give, He will give back to you in full measure. It will be pressed down. It will be shaken. But God and man will give back into your life. And let's remember, if all our rewards are here, what are we going to get there? Praise God. The greatest part of the reward is when we stand before Him and He hears, well done, thou good and faithful servant. God bless you. I didn't even know what I was going to say, but you know what? I'm glad I said it. It's good to be here again this year. And again, I feel that so much. I had texted Aletha from outside. I was here very late, but I was here before the service was over. And I said, it's so good. I'm blessed to be back in Pilgrim Camp again. I'm blessed. And I'm blessed every year that I come. And I just thank God for this place. God bless the people that... This morning I just sat here. This room has such a heritage. And I remember people who have been here, spoken, how they've spoken to my life. And I am so blessed to be here at Pilgrim Camp one more time. God bless you.
Yes, 392.
My friend.
thank you, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, to trust you. Oh, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, Jesus, we learn to trust you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, come, my God. Come, dear God. God, work this in our hearts, Lord Jesus. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray for our brother Wade. Dear God, pray that you just keep his hand, your hand upon him. Thank you that you've led thus far, and surely you will continue to lead and to guide every step. Thank you for encouraging our hearts, for lifting us, for reassuring us that you are there and that you are holding us. And so, Lord, help us to take this word this afternoon of encouragement. Lord, we can trust you with our lives. And so bring us to that place of surrender. That place of consecration. Lord, we belong to you. Not for the years of time alone, but for eternity. Lord, we're yours. We're yours.
Oh, Father, we thank you. We thank you.